This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Imagine going for a hike in a garbage dump. It's not especially tempting. But in Boston, it might not be such a bad idea if you were headed to Spectacle Island. Reporter Doug Sugertz takes us to what Boston calls its recycled island.
Spectacle Island sits 4 miles east of Boston and was given its name by colonial settlers who looked out across Boston Harbor and saw a pair of eyeglasses, two circular hills bridged by a narrow strip of sand. Native Americans once dug for mussels and clams on Spectacle's beaches, but over the past 100 years, the island became known as the Blight of Boston Harbor. It was the site of a quarantine hospital, a grease extraction plant, and even a knacker's yard where horse carcasses were rendered into glue. And by 1912, the city of Boston was barging its garbage to Spectacle Island.
We used to make fun of Cleveland because they had a river that burned, but we had an island that burned for 50 years. It was a trash heap.
David Otto remembers seeing plumes of dark smoke from methane gas fires that burned in Spectacle's landfill. And by the time the dump was closed in 1959, the thin, sandy slip between Spectacle's hills had been buried beneath a heap of trash piled 85 feet deep. It wasn't until the mid-90s that the cleanup began. Millions of tons of dirt and debris from Boston's Big Dig were dumped on top of the dump, and today, flowering falsparia bushes are blooming in the same place where tons of raw waste once oozed into Boston Harbor.
I think one of the things that strikes me right now is that it's still a little raw looking.
Jim Schwab took a ferry ride from Boston's Long Wharf today to hike along a trail that follows the curves of the park's sandy beaches.
I think in probably about 10 years' time, it'll seem like it's been here for a very long time.
Another footpath leads past a grove of eastern red cedar trees up to the summit of the park's North Hill. It's the highest point in Boston Harbor, and it's also the best place to hear the sound of Spectacle Island coming full circle. Birds are flying back to Spectacle, and that's one of the first signs that the island is starting to support indigenous animal life again. The common eider, the catbird, the waxwing, and the American oyster catcher can all be spotted in the park today. And at least one bird, the Savannah sparrow, has returned and is nesting and singing in restored grasslands on Spectacle Island. For NPR News, I'm Doug Sugertz in Boston.
North Dakota-based singer-songwriter Tom Brousseau has been captivating audiences for years with his high voice. But only recently has he had interest from record labels. Not one, but two CDs of his music have been released this year. Critic Tom Moon has this review.
Tom Brousseau comes from a family of storytellers. He grew up in North Dakota and says that he learned about timing, that ability to set up a story so it ends with a flourish, from hearing his great uncle Joe Rutherford around the dinner table.
I tuned my guitar to the hum of the train as we traveled along and started to sing. Somebody asked me what key we were in. The ties of the tracks was the drum that we heard, keeping the beat without missing the verse. The older you get, the harder it is to learn.
When Brousseau started writing songs, he didn't think too much about the singing. He mostly cared about the narratives. He wrote murder ballads and variations on the blues, and broken-hearted laments that seem at first to be just like songs we've heard a zillion times, but only at first.
I come across your old friends, they don't know me now. Sometimes I get a glance every now and then. Well, babe, I don't know them either. In fact, I never
The singing might have been an afterthought for Tom Brousseau when he started out, but it's what draws you to him. He's an old soul, 29 going on 99. He's got the plain-spoken directness of Hank Williams Sr. and a delicate way of phrasing that sometimes recalls Billie Holiday. He's totally earthbound and at the same time sort of out there in the ether.
Remember that you're young and free. You shouldn't have to be alone. Cause when you're down, it bothers me. And sometimes it chills me to the bone.
That song is from Tom Brousseau's self-titled disc. It was mostly recorded in an afternoon, with Brousseau playing guitar and singing, and producer Gregory Page adding maybe a violin or some pump organ in the background. There's another CD, which is called Empty Houses Are Lonely, and that's just as spare.
Ain't she ever-looking? She's my only friend. We listen to each other speak. And then we lie back to bed. She sleeps in jewelry made by Indians. Sometimes it tangles in her hair, but I don't really think she cares.
Brousseau is working on new songs, which he expects to record later in the year. He says he has no plans to change his approach, and he has no desire to create a more polished context for the songs, which exist in a desolate no-man's land between country, folk, and blues. That's good news, because Tom Brousseau's songs work best when there's space for some prairie wind to blow right through them.
Tom Brousseau's CDs are titled Tom Brousseau and Empty Houses Are Lonely. Our reviewer is Tom Moon.
Mary is a girl I see every now and then. She has.
Our program is directed by Brendan Banizak and edited by Sarah Saracen. The technical director is Stu Rushfield. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
The staff includes Susan Feeney, Art Silverman, Andrea Hsu, Allison McAdam, Carol Klinger, Rhonda Ray, and George Lyle. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin.
The managing editor for NPR News is Barbara Rehm. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.